Hi, welcome to Learning from Urban Legends, Creating Ideas That Spread. I'm Chip Heath, and I wrote the book Made to Stick with my brother Dan. In Made to Stick, we focused on how to make your ideas stick with other people, so that others understand and remember something that you're saying, and that they want to change the way that they think or they act. But sometimes we don't just want an idea to stick, we actually want it to spread. We want it to travel quickly from one person to another. We're looking for great buzz, we're looking for great word of mouth. Well, in order to understand how to make this happen, let's start with an urban legend. I lived in Chicago in the 1990s, and there was an urban legend that propagated there that targeted one of the most innocent courtesies that we give to each other when we're driving down the road. If you see somebody driving down the road and they don't have their lights on yet in the evening, you very often flash your lights at them to let them know that they should turn on their lights. It's safer driving that way, and it makes everybody on the road safer. Well, that was exactly the action that was targeted by this devastating urban legend. According to the urban legend, there were urban gangs in Chicago that, as part of their initiation rites, they had to hunt somebody down and kill them. And they picked their victims at random. How would they do it? Well, they would drive down the road with their lights off and wait for the first car that flashed their lights at them. And then they would do a U-turn, hunt down the driver, and shoot him. Now, there's no better way of eliminating common courtesy than to associate it with a gangland-style killing. But if you think about that urban legend, it's no wonder that it spread rapidly. And you can picture yourself in the situation where you would spread it. You're driving with a group of friends, the driver of the car flashes his lights at somebody, and somebody has an opportunity at that point to share this story. And I want to highlight three reasons that urban legend spread so rapidly. Number one, it's emotional. It's scary to think that this is happening in your community. And it's especially tragic because here's an innocent common courtesy that we give to each other as drivers, and all of a sudden it's become a fatal activity. The second is that the person who's passing this along feels like they're doing a favor to the driver that they're telling. It's a public service to pass this particular story along. And the third is that there's a trigger that happens out there in the external environment that reminds us to pass the story along. So whenever we see a car driving down the road with the lights off, we think to ourselves, oh, I shouldn't flash now. Or we use that opportunity to tell our friends who haven't heard the story, you know, you used to be told that you should do this, but now you shouldn't do it because it's dangerous. And so there's an external trigger in the environment that causes us to remember and spread the story. Now, let's take those ideas about why that urban legend spread, that it was an emotional story, it's passed along as a favor, as a public service, and that there was an environmental trigger that reminded people to talk about it. Let's take those three ideas and talk about how to make your own idea spread. Bernard Rimé is a French researcher. And what he's found is that people who have emotional experiences talk with each other, talk with other people, and share those experiences 92, 95, 96% of the time. And what's interesting is that the more emotional the experience, the more people share that with other people in their lives. And so the first clue about how to make your idea more likely to spread is to make sure that your idea is as emotional as possible. Now, what does that mean in practice? Well, it may mean that you have to think about what you're doing and design it so it produces an emotional experience. Let me tell you about Voodoo Donuts. This is a small donut shop in Portland, Oregon. It's on a strip of a lot of the bars and clubs in Portland. And it's about the size of a large walk-in closet. It's very crowded, and very often at night when the clubs let out, there will be people lined up around the block to get into Voodoo Donuts to get their donuts. Now, Voodoo Donuts is a small, locally owned donut shop in Portland, Oregon, but it has been the topic of national news coverage. It's been on Good Morning America. The BBC from London has sent a film crew out to film Voodoo Donuts. What makes Voodoo Donuts newsworthy? Well, at Voodoo Donuts, you don't get the standard donuts that you get at most other donut places. At Voodoo Donuts, you might walk in and get the triple chocolate donut. That's a chocolate donut covered with chocolate glaze and then rolled in Cocoa Puffs cereal. Or you might pick up the Voodoo Doll donut. This is a little man-shaped donut doll filled with raspberry filling that looks like blood when it oozes out, and you're given a pretzel stick to torture your voodoo doll donut. Or finally, you could get the breakfast donut, which is a long glazed donut filled with maple filling to give you that pancake-style sensation, but it's topped with four strips of bacon. Now, some of you are having an internal wincing sensation, imagining the bacon maple donut, but that's what Voodoo Donuts is trying to create in you. They're trying to create an emotional experience. It might be the fun of the voodoo doll donut that you can torture with your pretzel stick. Or they're probably not even upset if you get a little disgusted by thinking about the bacon maple bar. But notice what they've done is they've not just created good donuts. I'm not sure that there's any recipe in the world that would say that the recipe for a good donut is to make it in the shape of a voodoo doll. What they have done is created donuts that create an emotional reaction in people that see them and eat them. And there's also a public service component. If you're doing someone a favor by telling them about this fun experience that they can have after a night at bars in Portland, Oregon. And there's a specific trigger that very often gets you to the recommendation of Voodoo Donuts. You've got the munchies after a club or a show, and Voodoo Donuts luckily is open at exactly the time when you have that munchie sensation. They're open from 10 at night to 10 in the morning. So if you have a donut craving at 3 in the afternoon, you're no good at Voodoo Donuts. But if you've got the munchies after a club date, that's exactly the place to go. So notice that Voodoo Donuts has created great buzz and great word of mouth by designing their product to be an emotional experience. They have a lot of the properties of their product that urban legend about flashing your headlights has. It's an emotional experience, there's a public service favor component to it, and there's an environmental trigger that reminds you to talk about it. In the 1990s, there were a series of warnings that would come across on email, warning people that if you opened up particular kinds of emails with particular kinds of headings, that you might corrupt your computer. So they would say, don't open an email that has the words boardroom news in the title, because that email contains a virus that will corrupt your hard drive. And there were dozens of these emails that circulated warning people about various kinds of things that they could do to mess up their computer by clicking on innocently on an email. And all of these were bogus. There was nothing at the time that you could do to your computer by innocently clicking on an email that would harm your computer. But there was a young systems operator at a university that was getting dozens of the copies of these things passed along every single day because everyone felt like it was a public service to pass these along to the systems operator at the college. He sat down and he tried to use the strategy of the urban legends that were propagating against themselves. So he sat down and wrote this brilliant parody that we talk about briefly in our discussion of how to unstick an idea. Here's what he said. Warning. If you receive an email with the word good times in the subject line, do not open it. And do not open it was, of course, capitalized and followed by 5 exclamation points. He says, good times will rewrite your hard drive. It will scramble any disks that are even close to your computer. It will recalibrate your refrigerator's coolness setting so that all your ice cream goes melty. It will demagnetize the strips on your credit cards and use subspace field harmonics to scratch your CDs. It will give your ex your new phone number. It moves your car randomly around parking lots so you can't find it. The parody went on, but it was brilliant, and it was pitch perfect, talking about, in a funny way, the kind of scary content that these other emails were having about why you shouldn't open this kind of attachment or that kind of email. Now, keep in mind that what this systems operator did is he created a viral version of a really true public service statement. By listening to his email, you started to develop, instead of fear when you would see one of these email warnings, you started to develop a sense of laughter and humor. Because he had parodied perfectly exactly the tone, the capital all caps warnings with lots of exclamation points, the kinds of dire claims that all of these warnings had as they circulated around the internet. So it was an emotional experience that he created for people. but instead of the fear of the original emails, he replaced that with a sense of fun. It was also a public service. Now, if your friend sends you an email warning you about a virus, you send back a copy of this parody. It's a little bit of tough love, because you may embarrass the person that forwarded the bogus email warning in the first place, but you're reducing the number of these bogus emails that are circulating on the internet community. And there's a trigger. You're reminded of this parody every time you see one of these original bogus warnings that are threatening death and disaster if you open up the wrong kind of email. And so what this systems operator did is he used the principles of an urban legend to design the antidote for the urban legend. Now, how would we take this into another context? Emanuel Rosen wrote a brilliant book called The Anatomy of Buzz. And in 2009, he's coming out with a revised version of The Anatomy of Buzz. And he opens the book with a story about the National Outdoor Leadership School. This is a group that takes groups of people, especially college students, on outdoor experiences that build their teamwork abilities, their leadership abilities. And Rosen tells the story of a young woman, Amy Rathke, who was a senior at Willamette University in Salem, Oregon, and had gone on one of the trips of the National Outdoor Leadership School in the fall of 2003. And he describes that Amy was excited by her experience. She told everybody about it in the fall of 2003 when she came back. But then over time, she had kind of told everybody that she wanted to tell and knew. And so the number of times that she would talk about it declined over the months. But then suddenly, in the fall of 2004, she started talking about her experience again. She told her classmates about the spectacular views of the ocean vistas. She told people in her dorm about the climbing trip they took up a rocky canyon. She told people on her rowing crew about camping on beaches. She even called the Willamette newspaper and told them that they ought to write about the outdoor leadership school. And Emanuel Rosen poses the puzzle: what caused Amy Rathke to start talking again a year later about her experience with National Outdoor Leadership School? Well, it turned out the trigger in this case was a bus. It was a bus that the National Outdoor Leadership School started bringing to college campuses to give people an in-person experience in looking at pictures and hearing experiences of various college students as they went on trips sponsored by the Outdoor Leadership School. But this wasn't just any bus. It was actually a bus that ran on used vegetable oil. And so in every city that the bus was visiting, they would enlist the help of graduates of the National Outdoor Leadership School to line up local fast food places who would be willing to donate their used vegetable oil to fill up and run the bus. They would have owners of restaurants arguing with them, you know, you really shouldn't put that stuff in your gas tank for this bus. It's going to really mess up your engine. But the bus in and of itself was newsworthy, and people were talking about it. And now all of a sudden, Amy Rathke has a trigger for sharing her emotional reaction and the pleasure that she experienced in the trip that she took to Baja once again. Now that's a brilliant word-of-mouth opportunity. The National Outdoor Leadership School has used the principles that we've been talking about for urban legends to come up with a successful excuse for people to talk. It's an emotional experience. Amy and all the other graduates of the National Outdoor Leadership School had wonderful emotional experiences that they want an excuse to talk about, but now the National Outdoor Leadership School has given them an excuse to do it. And even if somebody's not going to be interested in an outdoor experience, the bus itself is conversation worthy. This is not just any bus, it's a bus that runs on used vegetable oil. And in an environment where we're all concerned about the environment and with alternative ways of getting fuel, that's a remarkable conversation piece on its own. It's a public service to talk about this thing. You make the graduates of the Outdoor Leadership School feel like they're doing a favor to tell their friends about the wonderful experience they had. And you're also doing a public service by telling people about this alternative form of transportation. Restaurant owners are arguing with you that you can't run a bus on used vegetable oil, but there it is. In fact, supposedly the exhaust from these vegetable oil-fueled cars smells a lot like French fry grease, as opposed to the normal toxic fumes that come out of a car. And finally, and this is the most brilliant part of what the National Outdoor Leadership School did, they provided a trigger. They provided a cue in the environment that gave people an opportunity to have a conversation. So here's the challenge for you, and this is not a challenge that everyone's going to want to take up. It's difficult to make an idea spread on its own. It takes a lot of engineering. But there are principles that make urban legends that spread rapidly. And by borrowing those principles, you can make your ideas more likely to spread. Here's what you have to do. You have to design an emotional idea. And designing an emotional idea gives you control over the emotion in your idea. Voodoo Donuts didn't just sell donuts. They sold emotional donuts. They sold bacon maple bar experiences. They sold voodoo doll donuts that you could torture with a pretzel stick. You also want to have some aspect of public service. There has to be a reason that people think that they're giving other people a favor for telling about an experience. The National Outdoor Leadership School managed to do that by creating an environmentally friendly bus. The young systems operator managed to create just a really funny parody, but one that had a message that was useful to people who were just getting used to using the internet. And finally, you want to think about what is the trigger in the environment that's going to cause somebody to think about your message and spread it. Voodoo Doll Donuts is that moment at night when the clubs are emptying out, when you really have the munchies. That's why they're open from 10 p.m. to 10 a.m. and not in the middle of the day. For the systems operator, he wanted you to think about his parody about the good times virus every time you saw an email warning you about some disaster if you clicked on the wrong email. And the National Outdoor Leadership School very consciously thought about the fanatic fans that they had that had graduated from their courses, but who, after a year, probably didn't have an excuse to talk about their trips anymore. And so they designed a bus running on vegetable oil to give those folks an excuse to talk about their experience once again. So that's your challenge. Find the emotion, find a public service aspect so that people can feel like they have a favor, they're doing a favor for their friends, and find the trigger that's going to allow them to talk about it. I hope you have great success in making your ideas spread. And if you have a story that you want to share, please write me at chip@madetostick.com and let me know about your success story.